grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it then.
Welcome, Chris Fowley, all the way from The Hemp Store.
There on K Road, right smack bang in the middle of K Road.
In the middle.
Also, thank you very much.
Also,
thank
you very much. Also, neck deep in your Z-can situation, aren't you, mate?
Neck deep. Neck. Well, I've just come from the lab, tending the plants.
Do you have to wear a coat? No, just start at the beginning. Do you have to wear like a coat or a cape?
Hell yeah. Yeah. Like a superhero. No, lab coats, yeah, all that. Not the goggles, though. I think when you see people with goggles on, they're kind of playing up to the media a bit. Or to their picture. But no, it is all like that. But our focus with our licensed grow that we're doing at AUT and in conjunction with them, and our focus is on developing methods and techniques that can let ordinary people be involved and let Kiwi farmers get involved in the medical cannabis industry without having to be a billionaire or a millionaire or partner with corporates and all that kind of thing, but let ordinary people be involved. So techniques that are easy, cheap, something that anyone can do, but that the cannabis that's produced using these techniques can be used by medicinal cannabis companies to make products that are going to benefit people. And we can do all of that and do it at prices that are more affordable than all the stuff that's coming in or doesn't come in from overseas, then that's a win-win.
True.
So, yeah, that's the focus. And we also have the course starting, which we've talked about before. That's starting in a few weeks now, post-grad course.
Is there like who's the tutor?
It'll be led by Ali Saifuddin, the good doctor at the AUT Drug Delivery Research Group, and I will be a tutor on at least one of the lectures. Thank you very much. And we'll also have
Do you wear a cape for that?
Yes, yes. And yep.
A little green cape?
Yeah. Oh, I can picture it. No, don't go there. We'll have other guest lecturers and people from actually around the world involved in the industry and in various different aspects of cannabis. And so that's going to be really good. We'll have, videos we won't be able to have coming in under quarantine and that, but we can do videos and things from them. So
do you need me to get into like a glass box and then you wheel me in and this is cannabis abuse and then sort of wheel me out?
That's a good idea.
This is what happens when you have too much gas.
If you are the example of cannabis abuse, then we're pretty good,
Well, that's all right. Kind of my point, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Functioning pothead.
Yeah, that's the one.
Now, Chris Fowley, I just want to go back to that cannabis farmer situation you raised.
Mm.
What do I need to be a cannabis farmer?
Well, you need a license.
A green thumb,
a green thumb. To get your license, this is under the medical cannabis scheme, and to get your license, you need a whole bunch of things, but it depends on the activity you want to do, the location you want to do it, the people involved, but you also need a buyer. You've got to have your supply chain all organised. You can't just grow cannabis and say, I'm going to sell it to someone. You've got to have
not like eggs
up
on the side of the road?
Well, it's a chicken and egg. That's what it is. It's a bit like, who comes first? You've got to have the buyer lined up for your produce, but you can't do the produce until you know,
who's allowed to buy it? Anyone?
Well, so the buyer has to be someone who has a manufacturer license. So
wait a minute. Yeah. The buyer has to have a manufacturer's license to buy off someone that's manufacturing.
And to get your manufacturer license, you have to say where you're going to get it from.
So the buyer needs to have the same license as the seller? That's what it sounds like to me right now.
No.
Manufacturer's license?
No, the cultivator, the grower, is selling to the manufacturer.
Why is the word manufacturer being used?
Well, you're manufacturing something, I guess. That's what it is. But understanding the licensing and that is the big trick or the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting better, but it's still fairly difficult. And for those reasons, despite what I'm saying about our research aiming to do it cheap and affordable and make products that can benefit ordinary people, despite all of that, I'm a firm believer that actually the way that most people access cannabis for therapeutic purposes will not be through the medical cannabis scheme, because most products will stay fairly expensive or take too long to get on the market, or won't help everyone who wants it at the price that they want. Mm. And the way that most people are going to access it is via adult use if the referendum passes. And that's been very controversial. But my experience from talking to patients over 20 years and for advocating from them and for being one myself is that is the way that most patients are going to access it. Mm. And the medical cannabis scheme is a huge step forward and can be a massive injection into our economy and all these other sorts of things, but it will benefit only a small proportion of patients.
Are there
many companies in manufacturing or stepping into the manufacturing side of things?
No one yet. So these licenses are all new, and a bunch of people have their applications in, and we're one of them, and good luck to everyone, and I'm sure there'll be a few people emerge, and hopefully things can happen and work out feasibly so they can actually make products. That's why our focus is on that, to actually make it happen, not just be a dream, but how do we actually make it happen in our economy to help our people?
You know how...
And one of the ways we're going to do that is by bringing in our genetics, right? Our local genetics, so that we're not necessarily beholden to foreign seed companies or having to partner up, although we have done that, and not in the sense of being beholden to them, but in the sense of partnership and working with one of the oldest players in the industry, which is TH Seeds, based in Amsterdam. We already have some of their genetics in, and having the ability now to bring in local New Zealand genetics, which is what I was getting to. So that's our big announcement, is that we've been granted what I understand is the first license to bring in New Zealand genetics into the medical cannabis scheme. And so we can actually have the ability to have the students who are on the course at AUT work with them and perform experiments in that with the New Zealand genetics, and also compare them to the Dutch, to the TH Seeds, to cross them together. And see if anything interesting comes out of that, and also to be able to supply all of that to local farmers so that they can grow cannabis and hopefully get the benefits of both, where we have the stability and the yield of the best Dutch combined with the acclimatization and local weather and pest resistance that the local strains might bring.
How does the local strain compare genetically to the foreign strains?
Well, they're all cannabis, and they're mostly the same, but little changes in their genetic structure can cause huge differences in their expression of cannabinoids and terpenes, and the terpenes can be active in their own right, but they also can interact with the cannabinoid receptors and accentuate or attenuate the way that the cannabinoids themselves work, so the terpenes are very important, and so between different crosses and different strains, you can have huge differences in profiles, and that really explains why patients report such different effects, or why there seems to be so many different uses for it, because of these different possibilities of combinations of terpenes and cannabinoids, and so that's what we'll be looking for in the local strains.
Will there be challenges? Because I can imagine that a commercial strain from the European market will be fairly streamlined genetically, but a local sort of underground black market strain might be a bit
wilder,
kooky,
rugged.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when you've been in a legal market and you've had proper scientists work on it, which is the era we're getting to, then you can do a proper breeding program where you really can eliminate the unwanted traits and really stabilize them for the best of everyone, the grower and the consumer, and get good yields of stable known quantities and things. But a lot of the stuff that we have that is illicit that can now be transferred into the scheme, like we've done, it's halfway there. There's potential, there's promise, but it needs some finish. Mm-hmm. And you often see that in the growing side, where they might really look a bit more wild and a bit all over the place in their structure. And the strains that have had that work put into them over in Holland mostly are very uniform and stable. So, that's better for everyone.
Is there a fear for that when we reach this kind of in-between stage where everything, the products are quite expensive and we haven't quite got the sort of the I guess for lack of a better word institution of cannabis around, is there a fear of like marijuana theft, because I liken it to like when pharmacies used to get stood over for the stuff that makes pee and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Is there anybody?
Well, security is a concern because it is a controlled
drug. Because if it's really
drug,
expensive,
but,
you know what I mean?
People don't really go around stealing weed now, so it's not, you might hear the odd story, but that's because it's an odd story. But I don't think anyone's really too concerned. But having said that, dispensaries and that tend to have a bit of security, but so does any shop or any business.
I guess I'm just talking about in between where it's like you say, it's really expensive. You can get kind of what you want now, but it's super expensive. Are those places potentially going to be targeted?
I don't think so.
Okay. Good.
I mean, for a start, they're just distributed through pharmacies. Pharmacies are well used to being secure and well used to having all sorts of drugs. So it's nothing out of the ordinary. So I don't see that. But also one of the features of the scheme, it's not a bug, it's a feature, is that the pharmacies can't keep stock on the premise. So anyone who tries to do that will come away empty-handed and they will be like, ha-ha, fool you. So they can't keep stock. So that actually is a bit of a downer for patients. It means when you go into a pharmacy, you can get your prescription off a doctor now and you go to the pharmacy, they've got no product.
Call first. Can you do that?
Your doctor can do it. I think you can do it, but generally your doctor would send the prescription through. You just make them do it. Send your prescription through, get it all organised before you turn up.
Okie dokie.
Easy peasy. So, but ultimately, yeah, a lot of these issues go away when we legalize properly.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like this gray area is where it's a super hot commodity, obviously, and that's sort of the angle that I'm getting at. I know there was issues with the stuff that, I think Studio Ephedrine, the stuff that makes, for a while you could get it in like cold and flu pills and people would go in and fucking stand over like a pharmacy for a packet of pills and shit, so it can get quite gnarly.
I don't know where you're going with this, man, but this is downer. I don't think any of this is going to happen, to be honest. You're theorizing about some violence that might happen.
No,
but this,
I'm
really
telling
not
you about
violence
that has happened, and I'm just wondering if it won't transfer to that situation.
Well, I don't think it will. I think it's the opposite. It actually cleans things
waiting
up.
Waiting for John to chime in, because he knows what I'm talking
about. Just this week, we're marking Philip Cowan, who was murdered and who over cannabis 10 years ago or so, and whose killers have never been found or brought to... to held to account, and the coroner released their report this week on Philip Cowan, saying yes, murdered over cannabis, his body will never be found, his killers will never be brought to justice. Yeah. And that is what prohibition does.
Yeah. How quickly after the referendum, say we get a yes vote in the referendum, how quickly will cannabis be available for purchase for those recreational users over 20?
Yes, well, so they've got to get the law through after that. So I'm picking that'll happen fairly quick because the law's already been written. And I think that if we get a positive result in the referendum, the government will put that bill in straight away. I think there'll be a lot of pressure to do that. And I think it'll go through Parliament fairly quick, but it is quite complex. And it does give people as well an opportunity to have their say in all the fine print, and things could change and rah-rah. But you could be looking at 9 months to a year for the bill to go through, and then an equal period of time for the regulations to come out. So realistically, you're looking at that year and a half to 2 years, maybe longer. But hopefully in that next term of Parliament, I'm sure that will happen. It might happen in a stage thing like Canada, but what will happen quite quickly is your ability to grow your own, and also that you can possess and consume in private places. So that will all take effect quicker, and then the actual rollout of products, you know, from shops might be a little bit longer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Chris Fowley, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to The Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with me.